Sexton trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down.
But Carl slammed it home.
Garland upstairs. Oh!
Sexton inside. Oh. A thunderous dunk. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media Family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. I still have the shakes. I have the jitters. That was one of the most nervous lotteries I have ever gone through in my entire life. But the Cleveland Cavaliers do not fall. They jump into that second tier with great options available, either Evan Mobley or Jalen Green. We're excited, and with me today to talk about this is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
Oh boy, we're still coming down. It was a wildly stressful lotto. You kind of laid it out very, very well when we've talked about, which is like once the eighth pick started, the sweat, you know, the hair on your neck starts raising because it's like, okay, if we can just survive, and then you find out the Raptors have jumped, and it's because, oh, well, there's one less spot for the Cavs to jump at this point. And that, and every time you see a jump in this setting, you go, oh no, oh no, oh no. And so when, you know, when the Cavs don't fall to six and it's confirmed that they're jumping up to at least top four, it's huge. Then you go to the post commercial break, that's the meanest commercial break in the history of television.
Oh, awful,
I cannot believe
awful.
They do that to us. And then you go, okay, four puts us in a corner, and nobody puts baby in a corner, and nobody puts the Cavs in the corner, and they finish with the third overall pick in the draft, which is amazing.
Let me tell you, man, the family dynamics would have been ugly. There would have been brawls in the Rowan family household if the Toronto Raptors were picking above the Cavs. I would have lost friends. It would have been an absolute nightmare. I forgot that given the recording time doing this after the lottery, we were going to get NPR Carter. We're going to get NPR Carter,
yeah,
and insane Justin. This
well,
is
well, you know,
a
you
hell
get,
of a dynamic.
You know what you get, though, is like fevered whisper Carter. Like... because I'm too hyped to talk calm, so I gotta like, I just sound insane, but in a different way, like a chill serial killer.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing, but I think I'm here for it. I mean, I'm really excited. Our takes before this lottery were basically the top three was that range where I really felt like, hey, the Cavs should keep the pick, take the guy, Mobley or Green, whichever falls to the Cavs at three. I think it's most likely going to be Jalen Green because the Houston Rockets are a pretty blank canvas. Yes, they have Christian Wood, but I can't imagine that they would want to pass up on Evan Mobley, especially with Kevin Porter Jr. there, who doesn't have the same upside as a Green, but a very similar game. I think they're a pretty safe bet to take Mobley. Woj had mentioned at the start of the broadcast that there was the possibility that the Cavs may look to move this pick. To me, obviously, I don't have any inside information on this, even though we are doing this on the Cavs channel. Part of the lovely partnership is...
Let's break it. the news. They've traded the pick.
Yeah. we get to be honest and share our opinions, and in exchange, we have to sit in the dark a little bit. So I don't think that there's any moving out of this. We had talked previously. My opinion was that as much as I really like Jalen Suggs as a prospect, I didn't really feel like he had that franchise upside. I kind of felt like he was a more dynamic Jrue Holiday and maybe a tier below Mobley and Green, who would probably go first overall in a lot of drafts. And to me, like, you look at what Jalen Green does, and I had mentioned this last week on Locked On Cavs. It is a much better version of what the Cavs had in Kevin Porter Jr. Like, you are talking about a more dynamic player, a better shooter. He's fantastic off ball. It's not hard to imagine the chemistry between he and Garland. And I expect him, assuming that's the pick and nothing crazy happens, I expect him to slot into that role, playing a ton of minutes, maybe off the bench to start, but really getting an opportunity to play serious minutes and contribute for the Cavs next season.
Yeah, and I'm part of me is trying to figure out where to take the conversation, whether it is to speculate on the fit of someone like Green, because it does feel like in our brain that that's where it's going to be. But, you know, people aren't, you know, I think ESPN's broadcast said that, I think it was Schmidt said he had the, or maybe it was, doesn't matter. I'm a little fried right now. But, you know, some people think that Green has the highest upside in the whole draft. So, yeah. like, there is a legitimate case for Houston to take him at two. And in that case, like, do you take Mobley and just be fine with it? Where's your brain go?
Yeah, you take best player available. Like, Mobley, Cade, and Green. Like, Cade to me is the clear number one guy in this draft. I don't think you need to get too cute with that. I wouldn't expect Detroit to get too cute with that. They are pretty much a blank canvas as a franchise. So Cade's the obvious choice there. In the event that Houston does go Jalen Green, maybe issues come up next season and they're in a situation where it's a blank canvas situation for them as well. Maybe they do take Green. Maybe they feel like he has the most upside. In that case, I take Evan Mobley. Like, I understand that there may be some questions about whether long-term he's a center, but I don't think he's that yet. Like, you look at his frame and his skill set.
He weighs about as much as I do.
Right.
An indictment on me, but that's neither here nor there.
What is his listed weight there?
215 on Tankathon.
215. So he's about 13 pounds heavier than Darius Garland. So, like, put that into context. He's 13 ridiculous. Pounds heavier than Darius Garland, basically, and he's 10 inches taller. Like,
Go bang with Joel Embiid, young
right,
buck.
Right. So I think that's a situation where you play he and Allen together. Maybe they develop great chemistry and it's a situation like Anthony Davis or Chris Bosh earlier in their careers where, hey, these guys, maybe they might close a game at five in certain situations, but they play the bulk of their minutes at the four. And I think Mobley would fit really well in a situation like that. That was basically the situation he was playing at USC next to his brother. But I really do feel like the most likely outcome is Jalen Green. And Cavs fans, after you are done listening to this podcast and you like, if you're watching on YouTube, you like, you subscribe, you support the Cavs channel, you support us, you do the same thing with the podcast, go look at some highlights. Go look at some highlights, like, especially with the added context of when we spoke to, or when I spoke to Brandon Yu about the G League, the fact that they were playing all of those games in basically 3 weeks against grown men and he contributed in that way. This is a guy that has the upside to be a 30-point per game scorer, to be one of the most dynamic players in the league. Yes, he's very slight and he's going to need to add some weight, but I mean, you got to be confident in your ability to do that if you're a franchise. You don't pass on a guy because he's skinny.
Yeah, no, you don't. What's nice about this is it's, you know, I think there might be the reaction, which is, okay, they're going to take another guard, but this is a more prototypical wing, you know. Yeah. like he's 6'6", he should grow into his body, and like he kind of slots in with either player, which is really, really nice if you want him to be more on ball with Colin, on the court, so Colin can continue to play that off guard. I think he's going to grow those skills. I think that's probably the clunkier fit of the two, but with Darius, the off ball play, the shooting, This is a guy who isn't going to have no problem getting 3-point attempts up.
He's a lob threat. Yeah. And the Cavs were at the top of the league basically in dunks all last season. And I think whether it's Mobley or whether it's Green, that trend is going to continue. Like, this team is getting really athletic in a hurry. And I think your point about his height is a good thing to bring up. Like, he is 6'6". He's big. He's a wing. His offensive skill set is that of a guard, maybe similar to Okoro in that sense. But I mean, we saw even when it was KPJ, like, playing the three. Like, when you're at that length and you got a big wingspan, you can do that. And there's obviously, when you're drafting someone that just turned 19 years old a couple months ago, there's also the possibility that he grows even more, which you know, I'm not afraid of a height watch, Carter.
No. How could we be? Yeah, I mean, he is very, very young. He's not even 19 and a half years old yet. So he's one of the youngest players in the league. I wonder if him and Kuminga were going to be like, oh, I guess they were actually playing against grown-ass men, weren't they?
I think there's, you know, a real possibility.
Because there is that bump that we always see with mid-major players where, like, they're clearly just playing against weak competition. Like, you have to really, really excel if you're a mid-major player. I don't feel like the inverse was applied to the G League Ignite team.
Mm-hmm.
Especially given how weird the situation was. So, like, I do feel like the fact that Green was the best player on the floor in a lot of those games is a really, really good indicator. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but I felt like when the Ignite games happened, people were wanting, were rooting for Kuminga to be the guy. And very quickly it became Green that kind of stood out in that group. And yeah, he's, it's just very, very exciting.
So I think the interesting thing to think about now, because when we were looking at all the options and they could have landed anywhere from 1 to 9, we're talking about, hey, trade up or trade out. I think now that you have a guy that has the potential to be a franchise player, whether it's Mobley or Green, you got to look at maybe some other options. Maybe you feel confident about trading a future pick.
Yeah, let me stop you there real quick before we have that discussion, because I do think it's an interesting discussion, especially with the way that Cavs Twitter just absolutely collapsed tonight upon news that that the Cavs might be aggressive with their pick. And aggressive with, you know, improving the roster next season.
Mm-hmm.
If they draft Jalen Green or Evan Mobley, and again, let us remind the listeners, we are not draft experts. We are draft idiots.
No.
So, grain of salt here, gang. But if they draft either one of those players, where do they slot in your opinion, in terms of highest ceiling on the Cavs roster?
Whew. I mean, I'd have to say highest, just by nature of the positions they play. Like, I do believe that Darius Garland has all-star upside, but when you look at what Jalen Green can do as a wing, a big 6'6" wing.
And you look at how what it takes to be an all-star point guard in this league.
And you look at Evan Mobley as one of those guys that's in a Chris Bosh or Anthony Davis type mold. Like, he's one of those outlier big men that really matters. Look at the playoffs this year. Look at the playoffs last year. Like, big men get you far if they are not the conventional. They are these dynamic forces. So I'd have to say from upside, like, picking at 3, this is going to be the guy that has the most upside. Now, I think we're seeing in today's NBA with the amount of talent that's coming into the league, like, you can have multiple faces of the franchise. You can have guys all contributing. You need multiple players that can initiate the offense at all times. Like, I know people like to talk primary ball handlers versus secondary creators. You want 3 of those guys. Like, I want 3 guys that can run a play at any time. And I think these are guys that can bring that kind of dynamic offense to the table. So I'm really excited. Like, this is really, really good. And I think one aspect of this that we can't overlook, Carter, because we went pretty hard on this train. And like, we go all in every now and then. And sometimes we look stupid. Sometimes we look smart. And we were pitching karma pretty hard. We were really pitching karma hard. And you look what happened to the Orlando Magic and the Oklahoma City Thunder for their shameless tanking.
It's a downer, man.
It's not. I'm petty. I'm so petty. When I saw OKC get those 2 picks, like, ugh. My mood just lifted. I was so damn excited. And like, they're still going to get a hell of a player. Like, that's one of the interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty Barnes has mocked them right now on Tankathon.
Oh my God, Scotty's going to be so good. Like, I really do think that almost everyone picking in the top 10 is going to get a player that's really relevant, that's really going to matter. Like, this is a really, really good draft. It's just that top tiers, like the top tiers in this draft. And I know some people are going to have Jalen Suggs in that tier 2, and I'm a believer in him. Just like, as we said before, like, that's the option that is the most awkward. It's not bringing you a wing or a front court player, which is among the biggest needs for the Cavs. And yes, Jalen Green and Suggs might play the 2, they might both play the 2, but they're different players, they're different body types. And to me, like, Jalen Green, like, the upside's just way higher. The upside's way higher versus Suggs, who in my opinion is more explosive, a more dynamic Drew Holiday type.
Yeah, and like, ultimately, you'd always draft for best fit, sure, and we're pretty aligned on that front. Or you always draft best player available, but like, you do have to account for fit here. Yeah, sorry, you do have to account for fit here. It matters that you have Colin Sexton, Darius Garland on the roster, and you can't build a team around giving all 96 of your guard minutes to dudes who are 6'1", 6'1", and 6'4". It just wasn't going to work long term. And the Suggs thing, I just felt like invited a hard, hard, hard choice in a way that the Jalen Green thing doesn't, because the Cavs don't have to commit every single minute to an undersized backcourt.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And like, it brings interesting questions, though. Like, this has to factor into what extensions you hand out. Like, that has to come in. And I can see a situation where all of these guys play, where all of these guys are getting 32 minutes a night. You can do that with a rotation pretty seamlessly. So I know everyone rushes to say, okay, well, what's this team look like in 5 years? What's that ceiling going to be? They're not forced to do anything. And that's one of the luxuries of picking in this spot, is you can go best player available and it's going to address a need. And it doesn't force their hand or any decisions on the existing players that are there. It may inform kind of your decision-making process, especially if you're in a situation where you feel like, hey, Isaac Okoro may benefit from more minutes at the two as well. Like, that has to be something that factors in. But I do think that assuming it is Green, you're probably going to see Okoro play a lot more at the three, or not a lot more, but continue to play a lot of his minutes at the three, because that just seems like the best way to make things work.
This is off topic, but I'm just feeling giddy. Sean Woodley, our dear friend on Raptors Twitter, says he thinks he's a Jalen Green guy if the Raptors keep the pick. That's nice, dear. He ain't coming to you, pal.
No, sir. I mean, Kyle Lowry's gone. Like, that is something that I feel like you could probably guarantee. Like, oh my goodness, Jalen Suggs and Fred VanVleet, like, they actually make a lot of sense together.
Yeah,
like, I think that...
Yeah, and it's great for the Raptors, no doubt about it, but Jalen Green will not be available to them.
The Raptors deserved good luck, just not as good as the Cavs. Like, I might be a little biased in that, but I have never shied away from my bias. I will embrace that with arms wide open.
Yes. So yeah, let's talk more Green and kind of what the roster implications are, because if he is the pick, do you start him right away?
No, I think you start whoever is the best in camp. Like, I think it's the same thing as Isaac Okoro.
And I think it's
last year, like, when we talked about whether or not he was going to start, you got to give the nod to the incumbents. You're going to have to come in and prove yourself. I think
and by the way, this is different even than that, because before, sure, Jetty is, you know, the team's committed to him contractually, and, you know, that's fine. This is the first time in this rebuild, this renaissance, mm-hmm. that the Cavs are forced to make a hard decision about a player they've committed serious resources to. And that's kind of exciting to me, because if you're JB, in Kobe, it's not a hard thing to say, okay, Isaac might not be all the way ready to start, but screw it. You know, we don't have our young starting three of the future on the roster right now, mm-hmm. Other than him. Let's give him the reps. The Cavs now have to make this decision, because every bit of messaging, including that Walsh report, indicates this team is sick of losing.
Mm-hmm. They should be.
And kids don't typically help you win.
Look at how impatient some of the stars around the league are. Like, look at what's happening in New Orleans. Look what Atlanta was in this situation with Trae Young last year. I do think that, yes, things are kind of accelerated, and the microwave nature of team building is something to consider. But, like, look at the fact that the young core has already come back to Cleveland multiple times. They're working with the coaching staff. They're working with guys like Andrew Olson on their shot. Like, these are guys that really want to make that leap. And I think you have to respect that. You have to signal as an organization, hey, we are going to be serious about trying to make the playoffs next season. And man, like, I was already feeling good about this. Like, you know, I've said it on the podcast. I've said it in our Discord. Like, I felt that the Cavs were better than their record, and another year of internal growth and supplementing the core would really, like, I think the plan was the floor. Like, I really do feel like this team's going to make the playoffs next season. This is a ceiling raiser. This is a big time ceiling raiser to get a pick this high in this good of a draft. And yeah, like, the other interesting thing to think about as well is, this isn't the same situation that the Cavs and Isaac Okoro was in last season. Like, you're not going to have to play as soon as you're drafted. Yes, it's a short turnaround time, but there is an off-season.
There's going to be a summer league.
There's going to be a summer league. There is an off-season. Like, what if Jalen Green comes in and he's weighing 195 instead of 180? Like, that wouldn't surprise me. He's probably been working out since the G League season wrapped up in, God, what was that, February? Like, yeah. It has been a while. So, who knows? Like, I do think, though, when you are looking to be competitive as you go into training camp, it's who earns those spots. Like, I really do think that that's the best way to approach it. Internal competition is great, but maybe Jalen Green is so good and so dynamic that you start him at the three. Like, that's a possibility. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he justifies.
Best man wins. That needs to be the general policy here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about what this roster construction is. And now you look at this team, players that are 22 or younger, and don't fact check me if one of them turned 23. Don't you dare. But you look at Darius, Colin, Isaac, Jarrett, Jalen. Jarrett turned 23?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, that's the one I knew I was going to get fact checked on. Point is, kids, young players. That's five young dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that Woj report tonight about how the Cavs are very interested in accelerating their rebuild. Now, I think both of us don't really need to have the should they explore trading number three conversation. I don't think either of us are interested in that conversation.
No. The answer is very much no.
But do you get a little, do you start feeling yourself and start looking at your 2022 first and say, hey, we got five kids that are 23 asterisk correction
mm-hmm.
and younger. Do you start taking a look at that future draft capital and saying, hey, we got as many kids as we want on this rebuild right now.
Yeah.
Do we want to start, taking some swings using our future capital, or is that a bridge too far for you right now? Cause I would say if they were to do that, they're probably not getting a good trade grade from Kevin Pelton.
They're not,
that's not going to be a popular move among the analytical community.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a gambling man, Carter. You mm-hmm. know that I'm a gambling man. And like, the interesting thing here is I do still think that there's a lot of teams that would be willing to bet against the Cavs. So there may be a good portion of the fan base.
Which is why you make the move.
Exactly. There's probably good portions of the fan base that are still betting against the Cavs. And for that reason, I would absolutely look to shop the 2022 pick, because yeah, you might want to lightly protect that just in case if you do get hit by a bunch of injuries or if the growth that you're anticipating doesn't come. But I would absolutely look to shop that, because you're now in an interesting situation, because assuming Isaac Okoro gets better, assuming the player that you draft, if it is Jalen Green, like, they're playing a lot of those wing minutes. All of a sudden, like, those minutes are kind of spoken for, and you got to make some choices of who's actually going to get minutes in this rotation. You have to be selective with the veterans you bring in. And if you can bring in a guy that helps accentuate the core, that's proven himself in this league, that's a bit of a known commodity, but still kind of fits the timeline to some extent, that would be really, really exciting. Like, yeah, I would be all over a move like that.
And I said this on Twitter because people were losing their minds. I said it to our dear friend David Zavak, who's having a little bit of fun. Don't get it twisted.
Good old David.
But, you know, there was all this panic about them potentially trading the pick or trading to accelerate the draft. And I think people have this idea of what bad GMs do, and it's all like 10 to 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are no, and you hear this all over the place. Like, you hear it from pundits, you hear it from other GMs. There just aren't suckers like there used to be.
Yeah.
There are some people who get forced into some bad decisions, but there aren't suckers. And that's a very important distinction. You used to be able to go call up, you know, the Wizards and offer Mike Miller a role player for the fifth overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it anymore. No one is making those moves. And I think it's probably has more to do with the the way the conversation has changed around these kind of moves than these GMs being that much smarter.
Mm-hmm.
But like now the public consensus is value your picks, don't trade them unless you have a chance for a star.
Yeah. I mean, that's why so many picks are protected. Like I think the Kyrie trade is the one that like really shook people to their core. Like yeah. I think that possibility is why you now see teams be a little more careful. And like even last season there was big panic of, oh, the Cavs are going to take Obi Toppin because they're impatient and they're not going to go best player available. They're going to go with the older player that might be ready to contribute now. No, they went best player available. Like Isaac Okoro, the consensus on him, I think Javone had him at 3 on his big board, or he was up there on either him or Schmitz. But the consensus was, hey, it's going to take him a couple of years to put it together on offense, but he should be able to contribute on defense right away. Bit of a project, but this is the top talent available. And they went that direction. So I don't think that there would be a panic move. Like, I don't think they're training number 3 for Russell Westbrook or something like that. Like it's this team hasn't operated in that manner. And it would really shock me if they did go that direction. Like I think it would have to be, if they were ever to move the pick, like it would need to be a proven young player, probably a guy on a second contract. But when it's this high of a pick, when you are in this range, I think we're both on the same page. Keep this pick, and like I'm already sizing myself for a Jalen Green jersey if that's the way the lot or the draft breaks down.
Isn't that a bit of a kiss of death? I don't know if we want you getting that jersey until he's played a few games, you know.
Are you referring to the Andrew Wiggins Cavs jersey in my closet?
Sure am. You should have worn it tonight.
I really should have. Oh boy.
But yeah, I don't know if our new overlords would like that. but yeah, I mean, it's just very, very exciting. It is, we're in such a better place. But you know what's funny to me is I do feel, and maybe this says something about how I feel about this rebuild, is in the past, my expectation and emotional reaction tier would have been 1, you know, over the moon insane. 2 to 4, I'm pretty happy. And then 5 and below, absolutely, you know, dejected.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably says something about the quality of this draft.
Yeah.
And the way I feel about the rest of the Cavs roster that I was not mentally in a, they better jump or stay where they are or we're screwed.
Yeah. Like I think like we were both in love with Scottie Barnes.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of this too is the confidence I have in their team building. Like the player development has been really, really strong with the Cavs. Like even the role players do get better when they're here. Like Torian Prince, unfortunately he got hurt, but he was playing a whole lot better than he did in Brooklyn. Like they were using him well. Jetty Osman made big strides. Yes, he had a setback year, had trouble adjusting to not starting. But considering where he was at that first year he was in Cleveland, like he's a much, much better player. Darius Garland, massive strides. Colin Sexton, massive strides. Larry's got better since he's got here. What they can do with a top pick and a top talent, like that is really, really exciting. And the nice thing is, this isn't one of those situations where the Cavs got lucky at the start of year one of trying to retool and to build up the next good team for Cleveland. They already did really well on their top picks, and they already added a young franchise center type in Jared Allen, who I assume now there's no real questions. Like I mean,
the only question is if for some reason Houston falls in love with Jalen Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it gets interesting.
It gets interesting, but even then I would be playing Jared Allen and Evan Mobley together and just like ending teams. Like,
well, here, and frankly, like, we've been abusing this comparison as of late, but you know, like the Rockets had no hard time moving Clint Capella.
No.
So let's say it is Green going to Houston and the Cavs take Mobley, and Mobley starts taking the capital L leap, mm-hmm. and the Cavs are like, we got to make sure this guy's getting 28 to 30 minutes at center a game. Okay, Jared Allen's a mobile, young, good culture rim running rim protector. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't think, I think you'll find somewhere.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, the interesting thing is, I feel like people look too far ahead in team building. Don't make decisions before you have to, especially when it comes to moving on from young players. Like, there is a world, a very realistic world, where Evan Mobley and Jared Allen work really well together. You might have to get a little creative offensively. But like, even Indiana had a lot of success with Sabonis and Turner together. Yes, it gets a little awkward at times, but that's work. Like, if they moved Evan Turner years ago, when they first got Sabonis before they had to, like, you're probably not getting a great return. Jared Allen's only going to get better. And for that reason, like, keep the young guys.
I was not expecting an Evan Turner reference tonight.
Evan Turner. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what? This is what happens. This is what happens when we go in with absolutely no prep, because we had no way to know which way this night was going to go. And luckily for us, it went in an awesome way. Like, I am so excited for the future of this podcast, for the future of this organization. Like, we are in on the ground floor, buddy. Like, this is really.
Yeah. And
really,
you know,
exciting stuff.
Well, you know what I was just thinking about is that, you know, sometimes, like, this happened with the Cavs early on with LeBron. I feel like to some extent it happened with Kyrie. We're seeing it happen with Dallas and Luka now, where sometimes getting the guy too early in the rebuild is actually a big challenge. Now, ain't no one complaining in Dallas right now. That they have Luka Doncic.
I would love to have Luka. Yeah,
sure, would be great. But with that said, we have seen situations where teams take a minute, are hitting singles, hitting doubles, and then they hit a home run, and then everything clicks into place. And I feel like the Cavs have a real chance to do that with Jalen Green here, who, you know, is, I think, the best talent on the core, if he is the pick. I would argue the same thing with Evan Mobley. And to that end, you know, like, we've seen what happens with this young core when they do get healthy, when they do have, you know, established veterans around them, how much better they look. So that talent infusion could be very, very meaningful for the development of those players as well. And, you know, maybe this is the way it had to break, you know, like, I think we've known that this team is looking for its number one. They might have one in Jalen Green. They might have another Darius Garland, who might be, you know, more of a number two. At least that's kind of where I'm projecting him to be, a good number two on a good team.
Well, here's the interesting thing about Garland, and sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I think the maximized version of Darius Garland is him as a floor general. Like, he's not going to be your primary finisher. Like, I think we want to see.
He doesn't want to score 30. He doesn't want to score 30.
You want to see that volume go up. And I think those April numbers of like 21 and 8, like, that's kind of where you want to see him progress from there, obviously. But he's a pass first guard as well. And having another play finisher in Jalen Green, like, he works really well with Colin Sexton. When Darius was having his best games, Colin Sexton was having his best games. And like, the fact that we haven't even got to Sexton yet. Like, that's really exciting. Like, there are such good bones to this team. Like, it is such a fantastic situation where these guys can all play together. They can fit well and they can grow together. So it's really going to be now about supplementing this young core, like this core five. And that's why I say, like, I would really, really aggressively see what you could get for the 2022 pick. I would love to know what's out there, because you add another young guy that fits with this core. Ooh, boy. You're really cooking with gas.
Yeah, let's play the rotation game while we're here. So if it's Jalen Green, who's your starting five? What does your bench look like right now with who's on the roster as it currently stands?
Honestly, I think it's still the starting five. Like,
agreed.
This year.
Agreed.
Now, I'm again saying that out of respect to the incumbents. Like, I think Jalen Green's going to have to go out there and earn it. I do think that he has the highest potential out of anyone on the team, but I would favor the incumbents in a situation like that. You have to assume that they're going to get better. So that, for that reason, I would go with that. But it is really easy, man. Like, it is really easy to get him 32 minutes a night, because if Garland's playing 32 at the point guard position. Sexton has shown that he was developing as a backup point guard. He can play 16 at shooting guard and 16 at backup point guard. Jalen Green's going to give you a little playmaking as well. That gives him 32 minutes at the two. Easy, easy peasy. You can even play him a little bit at the three. I don't think this either decision is going to push any of the young guys out of the rotation. It's just going to be a matter of who earns those minutes. And some nights it may be different. Like some nights it may be Sexton. Some nights it may be Green. Some nights it might be Okoro if he gets it going. And I think that's a really, really healthy environment to have. Obviously, there may be issues down the road, but there may not be. It may bring out the best in everybody. And for that reason, that would be the way that I would approach this.
Yeah. I do think that if it's Jalen, the decision to go get a TJ McConnell type to be your backup point guard gets a lot easier because you get that off the ball juice and that spacing, that athleticism. I still think they need a backup point guard. I'll die on this hill. I love Colin at the two, and I'd rather do what you said, which is if Green can hang physically, which there aren't that many bruiser threes anymore, by the way.
No.
Like that's kind of a misconception.
Like OKC made it to the playoffs, OKC made it to the playoffs, and they were very successful starting 3-point guards in Chris Paul, Schroeder, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And Shai was skinny then, skinny. So you can easily get him minutes at the three.
Yeah, and like especially not backup 3 minutes. You know, like you can minutes match. You can be smart with how to do it. I'd almost rather see that and make sure they get a really good professional. Because again, like it or not, like. Even though Green is exciting, they are adding a 19-year-old to the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be even younger in their rotational minutes than they were this year when healthy. And they got to keep adding professionals to the periphery. I think this is such an important offseason for Kobe Altman to build a roster that can support the kids. I think that they tried to do this last year. I think between injuries and some opportunistic moves where you had to send like a Dante Exum out to go get Jared Allen,
mm-hmm.
Like they kind of weren't able to do that. And this is the year where you really have to insulate these guys and teach them teach them how to be winning professionals. So I'm very fascinated to see kind of what the periphery of the roster looks like. Because let's say they do go. I'm just going to keep saying TJ because he's one of my favorites. But like, let's say it's TJ. A group with TJ McConnell and Larry Nance and Torian Prince. That's not the worst bench mob for a young team, man.
No, it's really not. And like, especially if you bring back Hartenstein, like he gave you some playmaking too. Like he's a good passer. Yeah. You can run some offense through. Like Larry is a good playmaker as well. Like there's so many different ways you can go with it. Like we're in a situation where we finally have good problems. Like that is such a great place to be in. And like, I'm going to be smiling like an idiot for the next 3 months. And thank God training camp's only 3 months away. I know some people aren't thrilled about that, but at least the Cavs are getting a rest and they are going to be reloaded. I think everybody that's listened to this podcast knows that I felt like this team was better than their record. You look at them being top three in injuries, and a lot of those injuries happen at the same time and often at the same position. You have to get lucky every now and then in rebuilds, and that just happened to the Cavs. Kobe Altman has spoken, Carter. This is the kind of statement that doesn't tip their hand, but gets me excited, and I assume it gets other fans excited. We are going to get another large injection of talent coming soon. Inject this to my veins, my friend. I am so damn excited for this. This really couldn't have broken much better. Like, obviously, it could if you're at two or three. But honestly, like, even like at two, I kind of like having the decision made for us. I'm just weird that way. Like,
I don't think you're alone in that.
I think Evan Mobley and Jalen Green are so damn good, but it also makes me really nervous to pick one of them. Like, I think both of them are going to pan out. Both of them are going to be really awesome. But I kind of like having third because I feel like you're getting the last of those really tier 2A guys.
Listen, it's okay for us to feel that way as long as Kobe Altman doesn't feel that way.
No. He's an actual smart man and not two idiots podcasting together. But
about like, players, they don't really know that well.
No. Like we admit our blind spots, and we admit that we are not the most confident people when it comes to draft. Like a lot of what we do is bring on experts who will inform our opinions, and then I develop really strong opinions based off those opinions that are usually wrong quickly.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
Evan Damerel, I believe Tom Withers, both just are mentioning that our dear Darius Garland will be playing on the U.S. Team USA select team.
Boom.
So that is more Kobe Altman Team USA connections, always and forever, apparently. But what a good thing for a player like that. Yeah, like that is the kind of seat, like he's going to get his ass kicked in practice in the best way.
I mean, remember what it did for Kyrie. Like that was massive. Like,
yes.
This is a really, really good opportunity for him, so I'm excited. Kevin Love on Team USA. That's the other bit of news that broke today that I guess we need to talk about. But before, do you have anything else on the lottery before we pivot to Kevin Love?
Oh man,
I don't think we have a lot to say on it, but
no, it's just very exciting. I think the Cavs are going to get a really, really good player, and the rebuild, I don't know if Jalen Green accelerates the rebuild, but again, I do think he raises the ceiling of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very excited to, can it be summer league now, please?
Yeah, no kidding. Man, I've got to budget my trips here, because I would love to be to, I'm going to Cleveland at least twice this season. I'm really excited about that. I have recovered from my vaccine. That was a one day in hell.
Welcome to the squad.
But now I am fully vaccinated in maybe 10 days, I think. I get my vaccine passport, and we are good to go. So I'm excited about that. I cannot wait to get back to Cleveland. I miss it. I miss my second home, and I have even more reasons to be excited about that. So yeah, before we wrap this up, we'll just quickly go over Kevin Love with Team USA. Personally, like I think this is a good opportunity for him. It's not like this season was a season from hell for him. He went through so much adversity, really dealing with a lot of issues with his body. And now that he's feeling healthy, this is a good opportunity for him to go out there and show, hey, I'm still Kevin Love. I'm healthy. I can contribute to winning basketball. And this is just a really good opportunity for him to kind of get his feet wet and prove that he can be healthy, whether it be to give the Cavs confidence in him as a contributor, or, I mean, let's be honest, he's been open about saying that he wouldn't mind playing somewhere else. Yeah. So this is probably his best opportunity to show that he can still contribute in the NBA.
I mean, what is USA Basketball if not a glorified networking convention at this point?
No. We've been burned by that before.
I will say this. I think it's a great opportunity for Kevin to prove he can be healthy again. I think it's great for the Cavs to kind of see, you know, how he's healing.
Yeah.
I think that it is cool. I actually do think it's cool. I think the first instinct, I'm not, you know, rah-rah-rah guy all the time, but, like, you know, our first instinct is to think about all this other, you know, weird stuff of, like, proving you can be healthy and, you know, talking to his guys, but, like, most guys who came off the injury year he's had, the past several years he's had, don't want to go give up their summer and play in the Olympics. And I think it's cool that this guy wants another gold. And
he deserves the opportunity. Like, we've talked about
totally
the impact that he's made off the court. Like, a lot of the young guys credit him for being that leader off the court, and yes, people will dwell on some of his missteps and bad moments, but, like, Kevin Love has meant a lot to this organization. He's obviously a major part of the championship, and, like, he's someone that now I get to root for him with Team USA. Like, I'm not going to root for him against Team Canada. I'm sorry that we're going to have that divide. Canada is not going to be full bars without Jamal Murray and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But you know what? We're still going to be a lucky bunch.
USA had better waltz, man. By the way, I can't believe how good the commits they're getting are. I really didn't think that people were going to play after this after this short off season, heading into another short off season. I'm kind of excited because the FIBA championships last time were pretty humiliating. I mean, that team really, really got their butt kicked.
I mean, what did Larry tell us before the season? Guys like to play basketball. I know on Twitter the assumption is that these guys hate playing basketball and every single game they play is a chore. But no, they really like to play basketball. And a lot of these guys that are currently still in the playoffs or were in the playoffs are going to play for Team USA. So a really cool opportunity for Kevin. Really, really happy for him. I hope that he continues to stay healthy and look good there. But what a day. What a night, Carter. This is going to be one I'm going to forget, or I'm going to remember for a long time. What a slip. Forget for a long time.
It's all right, pal. We're tired.
I'm not tired. I'm not sleeping tonight. I'm watching Jalen Green highlights. Anyways,
you and me both, brother.
To all our listeners that are tuning in on YouTube, like and subscribe. It's the best way to help us out. If you're listening via podcast, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there, and until next time, go Cavs!